Arts is actually one of my favorite things, too. That was John Coltrane with his wonderful My Favorite Things. This was done for a 1961 album by the same name, featuring Coltrane for the first time on soprano sax. It's a wonderful, it's just going to last forever. That's all I've got to say. It's going to last forever, and it's a forever classic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Nutrice Lead. I was missing in action yesterday. I felt so bad. But I took one of everything, and I'm better. So there you are. That's a recommendation. When you feel so sick, take one of everything that you have, and you'll feel better. All right. This is Lead Stories. I said that. Okay, great. So we're back on track. And my mind is actually working for the time being. All right. Well, today we're going to try something a little different. And that is, I'm going to ask for your expertise. I'm going to ask you to demonstrate to us your expertise, your knowledge, your analysis on a number of subjects and see what you come up with, because I want to be sure, I want to be convinced that you're doing your homework. And by that I mean you're keeping up with, you know, the news, you're following things, you have your own opinions, and we ought to hear them. We ought to hear what you're thinking. And why you're thinking what you're thinking. So I'm going to ask you to put yourself in that mode today. What mode, she says. Well, as soon as I find my page, I'll tell you what mode it's going to be. It's really to get you used to the idea. Remember, I've been saying this for a long time. Get used to the idea of occupying space. Radio space, newspaper space, on the internet space, column space, whatever it is that you can do to present a different point of view about anything. But, of course, you have to have a point of view. And in order to do that, you should be current with events. You should know things. You can't know everything. But you have to get yourself trained in the ritual of expanding your knowledge base. And it should come as naturally to you as having a cup of coffee. Oops, did I say that? Oh, don't tell Gary. Having a cup of... okay, I just blew it there. Having a cup of decaffeinated tea. Okay. A lot of what we can do, you'd be surprised, in this world is to exert influence. That doesn't mean we're proselytizing and we're cornering people and forcing them to think our way. That's not what I'm talking about. It is, in fact, decidedly not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the idea of being used to, or let me put it the other way, not being uncomfortable with the notion that you can engage at any particular level with anybody on practically anything and convey an opinion about it. it will broaden your perspective on life. It is an amazing way to learn and to teach oneself, because you have to listen to the other person or persons. You have to hear their arguments, and you try your best to convey your point of view without, you know, getting into a fist fight. But we seldom see ourselves as potential agents of change. We just see ourselves as waiting on the people who know things to tell us things. It's such a waste of time. So you don't grow. You don't expand. You don't experience the large world around you. And in so doing, you deny yourself perfect opportunities for self-education. I'm all about learning something new, something different, acquiring new skills. I take it very seriously, by the way. It's not just, you know, once in a lifetime experience. It's every day you will come across somebody's path, and you never know. You may end up having the most enlightening experience of your life. So be prepared for it. Push yourself. Learn to listen very carefully and to embrace other people's points of view. And not be shy. When I say not be shy, I don't mean you become dogmatic and overbearing. But you acknowledge what is shared with you. And you say, I wonder if you ever thought about so-and-so and so. It's a non-threatening way to introduce an idea. But it is mostly for you to learn how you can interact with people and broaden your circles a bit. All right, so I'm going to give you your clue in one word for now, because we have other subjects that we should be talking about as well. Barbados. Barbados. That's your clue. Oh, Lord, she's gone off the deep end now. I'm hearing some people saying, oh, I hope she has friendly people near her. Because I certainly don't have a clue what she's talking about. But believe me, it's an important clue. Barbados. Let's hear what you comes into your mind when I say the word Barbados. Anybody out there who knows what I'm talking about? What is this clue referring to? Barbados. Oh, you're slow. You're slowing down, folks. We got to get you back up to speed. We can't have you slowing down when you have such a rapid-fire mind. I'm going to give you a little bit more time. Barbados. That's the biggest clue you will ever get. What comes to your mind when I say Barbados? That is in the news. Do you know? What is significant about Barbados in the news? Why is it significant? All right. Caught you off guard, didn't I? Yeah. You can't trust me. Patricia, you're on the air from New York. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. This is Patricia Utrecht. How are you?
Okay. I was saying hello to you.
Now, Utrecht, you know you can't trick us. Barbados decided that she was going to sever her relationships with the Queen.
I'm not hearing you too well.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, yes. Barbados decided that they finally would sever relations and boot the Queen in terms of her monarchy over Barbados.
Oh, what do you think about that?
I think it's long overdue. My goodness. My goodness.
They want even a teardrop for the Queen after all these years.
My goodness. I mean, I you know something? I had actually forgotten. I mean, most of the Caribbean, declared their independence eons ago. It never even dawned on me that Barbados had not.
Yeah, Barbados had not. And it was arranged that way because that's how Barbados's relationship, if I could use that word, it's not the right word at all, with Britain, started because of its importance, its strategic importance. What was Barbados's strategic importance to Britain?
Well, outside of the agricultural and economic, I honestly don't know.
It's called slavery. It's called slavery.
That was.
It is called also a perfect possession because it's like a vacation land for the rich and for the royalty. When they get a little bored of Britain, they can always go to Barbados, and people will be falling all over themselves to be of service to them, to make them happy.
Yes, it was the playground of the rich and famous, in the same way that Cuba was the playground of the rich and famous for the U.S.
What do you think Barbados's action can teach the world?
Well, I have to ponder that because I think the action has come so late in terms of its significance. Of course, better late than never. But I think you have me stumped today.
Oh, okay. Well, you do well when you're stumped. Thank you for getting us started today. Lincoln from New York. Barbados.
Hey,
what comes to mind?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Thanks for asking. I'm okay.
Yeah, great. I'm glad to hear that. It's something that I've always been concerned about, and especially since I was born in Jamaica, was the fact that after we got our independence, we still had that type of that so-called governor general who represents the so-called queen. So we were never really independent, actually. I see Barbados will also ricochet like this present action they took will ricochet like what happened when Toussaint Louverture kicked the French out of Haiti. I think it will trigger similar thoughts, and it will probably trigger other nations to start thinking about becoming more autonomous. It might help the Francophone nations, those African nations to start thinking differently, to become more autonomous, to control their natural resources, which is what they need to do. It would be good if it could trigger something like what Norman Manley was once working on is the Federation of the West Indies. That would be, if I were in politics in the Caribbean, that would be one of the things that I would be trying to do, to bring all the so-called third world countries together as a union, so that we could, you know, we creating our own monetary system, etc., so that these so-called big countries could not just get up and devalue our currencies, etc. And I said so-called third world because there is no such thing as a third or a first world. And another thing that even the so-called intellectuals use is incorrect about developed country or developing nation. There is no such thing as a developing nation or a developed country. The proper terminology should
don't digress. Stay on point. Stay on point. Stay on point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's related, though.
Stay on point. Yeah. What do you think in the short term and longer term impact will be of Barbados's action?
Like I said, I think it will cause more nations to start thinking more autonomously. That it I hope it does do that, and I hope that it's not just symbolic, because Barbados is also the first country actually in the Caribbean to start embracing this new thing called metaverse, which makes me kind of a wonder, you know. But Barbados took a big step towards that metaverse thing, you know, that Facebook etc. is introducing. You know, like they're thinking of, I think, creating a metaverse kind of a embassy, you know, which, you know, it's a very, so soon to be thinking of something like that, you know.
What do you say to the fact that so far, after this long, quote, association, unquote, with Britain, Barbados apparently is not going to walk away from this new arrangement with any kind of compensation?
It's similar to the mule and 40 acres here. It is saying that.
Really? 40 acres and a mule?
Yes, I'm saying it's similar to that, you know, in the sense that after they rape you, you know, they plunder you, they usurp you and all the other adjectives, you know, they come and they set up laws and now you must go by their so-called international laws, you know, and still exist in your deprived state, which they created, you know, I mean, in certain ways, it will be symbolic. In certain ways, it still will be symbolic, because you see, people have to understand: it's not money that rules the world; it's military might which controls the world. You know, economics is a bogus subject. We just make ourselves feel good when we get PhDs in them.
All right. Well,
hello?
Thank you. Yes, I'm listening. I listen attentively.
Yes, it is bogus. I mean, we have to understand that even the so-called monetary system, when we say we made America rich or we make England rich, Richard, what? The monetary idea that they created, because Africa was not poor, but yet they were conquered. And they were conquered because of military might, not because of money. Their money did not mean anything to us before they came. You know, in the Americas, Native Americans were not suffering from homelessness, etc. Until the Europeans came and imposed their conventions on them.
So, you know, in your view, was there any benefit to the so-called relationship between Britain and Barbados?
Of course, there was benefit. Because based upon the system they created, yes, it did create wealth. So what I'm saying is a very, very tricky thing I'm saying. You know, you have to be able to demystify things, to comprehend it and to walk with it. You know, just like, for example, I would love to be a trillionaire in this world, but at the same time, I still realize that money is bogus. You understand? But if I live in this system, I have to work by the rules.
But you're all over the place. You're so busy philosophizing that you're off track.
No, I'm not philosophizing. It's practical. It's practical. Okay. This is not philosophy. This is practical.
Okay. Well, you certainly made your point.
Mm-hmm. You're just not used to that kind of thinking.
I love you, Lincoln. We'll talk again
soon. Me too. I love you too.
Thank you. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air. How do we now look at Barbados? Little Barbados, which is, as they used to say in the commercials, only a smile wide.
Well, you know, I would look at Barbados as another nation that has been played. But because just like Brother Lincoln said, you wouldn't gain independence by having a cup of tea to the Queen. You have to gain your independence by guns, like Afghanistan. You see what I'm saying? Because these colonial powers, they gained the colony by guns, not by negotiation or speaking the language of these people all over the world. It was guns that do it, and the only way you're gonna free yourself of the colonial powers. It's through guns. Simple as that. So Barbados has been played.
Barbados has been played how? I mean, you're saying the only way that they can truly achieve independence is through war.
Well, that's the way they became a colonial power.
That's how Britain became a colonial power, and it waged war against other countries or other territories that it wanted to acquire. But that was the way all the countries wanting to attain additional power and to get other islands and other countries under their wing, that's how they did it.
Right. Right.
So why is it not feasible now?
Well, as far as I know, it has never been feasible. Historical record. So why now? It's feasible.
Why do you say the only way for self actualization for Barbados or any other smaller country is to be prepared to go to war, even if it would be a tremendously lopsided war and a war they cannot even afford? Well, Why can't there be another way?
Well, Haiti did it. And look at the condition of Haiti, because they're suffering from the oppression of that nation. You see what I'm saying? They still have their hands in there. So what makes Barbados think this they could gain their independence that way?
Wanted to form a republic. They had gained independence. And now they want a republic.
Oh, okay.
And that's what they say they have achieved. You disagree?
Okay. Well, we'll just have to see your truths. Because they're going to tell you anything. remember, we're dealing with sick-minded people, violent people. So they'll come to you with a pot of gold. And the next
Well, actually, Britain didn't come to Barbados with this plan. Barbados made its own plan to become a republic.
Okay.
And supposedly, that's what they have achieved. Okay. They're now officially a republic. What is your question, or what are your doubts?
Well, the way I see it and look, and from my historical, if I look at things from a historical perspective, Eutrice, and I think that they've been played. Because there's an underlying issue that Britain wanted. And they see by allowing Barbados become a republic, it's a gain for Britain, not for Barbados.
Okay. Well, we will see how people are reacting to what you put out there. Thanks for calling in and contributing. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. Barbados, what does it mean?
Well, a lot of the things that have been said, it was where I originally was going to call about as far as the slavery. I believe Barbados was one of the richest slave colonies that they had back in during the slave trade. I believe it was one of the first ones also, like with Brazil. And Barbados were one of the major slave trade hubs in the Caribbean. And a lot of the things that I was going to say have probably already been said. But I found it interesting what Lincoln was talking about. He was talking about the metaverse, that they're embracing the metaverse in Barbados. And the only reason I found that interesting is because. I don't know if you're familiar with cryptocurrencies and things of that nature, but the basic concept of cryptocurrency is to detach itself from international monetary policy, which is the what makes or breaks a lot of these countries. And if they're able to find a way to not depend on for instance, the IMF or these world banks for funding, maybe they can break away truly from the grip of these colonial powers.
Okay, so bring us back to where you were before you took off on that little jaunt there.
Well, basically where I was that it seems like Britain has no further use for Barbados. They've already drained its resources. We're in a different time in the world where sugarcane is no longer the major commodity in the world as it used to be during the slave trade. I just believe that Great Britain, they're going through their problems, and Barbados wants to become truly independent. I was surprised to find out that Jamaica was still under the Commonwealth. That was a surprise to me. Who was it? Lincoln? Lincoln was the one that mentioned it, I believe he mentioned it, that they Jamaica was still a Commonwealth. But other than that, that's about it. You know, it's very interesting to see how not much has changed until recent news comes about. Then we realize, wait a minute, things are still pretty much the same as they have been for hundreds of years, actually.
In your view, was that a good move for Barbados?
It's a good move in the sense that you are not beholden. You're not under the umbrella, this umbrella of colonialism, I believe that's part of what they call the United Kingdom, is being part of the. Now, I'm not sure exactly if Barbados, if that is part of what they call the United Kingdom, because you know how you have Great Britain, you have England, yes. Great Britain, United Kingdom. You have these three titles that they use.
They kind of use them interchangeably.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. They use, I believe Great Britain is within their little island, connecting island. And then the United Kingdom involves, I believe Canada is part of the United Kingdom. These other countries that, I forgot what they call it, but they respect the Queen or what have you. But it just amazes me how England is still, we think of it as this little island out there in the Atlantic, but how their tentacles reach very deeply around the world and their influence. And they have the British are very, sneaky, conniving kind of people. And they're very,
sneaky, conniving people.
They know how to.
Which country do you know that isn't a sneaky, conniving country?
But they seem to be like the architect. We would living in the.
They're
United
all
States,
in it. They're all in it. They have different. They offer different reasons for why they have an interest here and an interest there.
Yes.
But this is how they.
There's something.
Operated.
Yes, they're very, very...
So you're not sure, you're not sure yet whether this was a good move for Barbados?
It could be a good move and a bad move. In a sense, it's a good move as far as if you want your independence, you have to break away. It's a bad move in the short term in the sense that Britain and the United States and these superpowers, they still control the monetary issues around the world, and that can have a short-term effect. But like I was jumping on Lincoln's, I believe it was Lincoln that was talking about this metaverse thing, because I believe Venezuela was trying to mess with that a little bit, trying to create a cryptocurrency and create other wealth, because we have to understand, during the colonial times, gold was like what they called the Spanish, when they came here, that's what they were originally looking for, was gold. And they were mining all the gold and taking it back with them. And then when they realized how the Europeans, when they realized how lucrative the soil was here for our agriculture, that's when the agriculture trade took off, and slavery and all that took off. And gold was the original wealth creator. And but now they have this thing called cryptocurrencies, and they're creating wealth out of. I don't quite understand it, but they're creating wealth out of it, and anybody can do it. And if Barbados can manage to do it, that might be a good thing for them going forward.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. So nobody is going to have you confused when they walk up to you and say, Barbados.
No. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a show on WBAI earlier this week. There was an author that had wrote a book about the whole slave trade. And I was listening to the show, and he had mentioned Barbados, and I believe the day after that show is when this news broke out, and now you're talking about it, so it's all like connecting. It's really interesting topic.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and contributing today,
right,
Deborah from New York. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Eutrice and family. Peace and blessings to you.
Thank you, and to you too.
Okay.
And to all of us.
Yes, to everyone. I happened to see Amy Goodman this morning, and she did a good piece on the whole event of Barbados changing hands. So when you first asked for what was going on, I knew exactly what you were talking about. However, I haven't spent a good time of understanding the full history of Barbados, but it had been a sugar plantation, so it obviously did bring great value to...
it had been many things, actually, not just sugar. Sugar was one of the main crops, as it was throughout the Caribbean and South America. Sugar was a... And even the south of the United States, sugar was what built the economy. People don't
definitely
think that, though.
Yeah, yeah, sugar. I don't know if tobacco would have been there, and there would have been many, many other things, but the main fact that slavery and the fact that Barbados had been colonized, they gained their independence in 1966, and I forget exactly what was said, that there were two components to them gaining that independence, and in one of those aspects, they cleared up in the beginning when they claimed their independence. And then I guess at that time they wanted to have the queen removed, but that didn't happen at that particular point. So the fact that now they have severed their ties with the queen, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have some involvement with Britain, because in terms of trade and whatever aspects, in terms of how they get their goods and things like that, some of the questions that you were asking, you know, what does it mean for the future, is kind of questionable in terms of how things will evolve as time goes on. You know, they talk about the hidden hand. So what hand is in full control of all the aspects of this global population that we're dealing with? And I hear folks talk about the cryptocurrency. I do have some understanding of the cryptocurrency. How will that play into it? I'm not really quite certain as far as that's concerned. It was really interesting because my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter were in Barbados for the last 7 days. They were there from last Monday, and they returned on Monday. So I'm interested in talking to them to see what kind of celebrations might have been taking place through the week, knowing that this big event took place on Monday evening. They had already left. So I'm interested in finding out in terms of what was happening on the island while they were there. The fact that...
How would you know, how could you tell whether this would eventually be a good move for Barbados or not? What will you be looking at?
Well, I'd be looking at any difficulties that may come their way in terms of, I'm not sure how they get their supplies and different things like that.
The same way everybody else does. It comes by ship. It comes by plane. Very little from other islands, actually.
Right. So, you know, I don't know what effect that could possibly have. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play itself out. So it would be interesting to see. Like I said, I'm not fully aware of Barbados itself. I would love to go there and see how the island is. That's not one of the islands that I've been to. With COVID, it's interesting because travel will now be difficult for anyone who is not vaccinated, or even if you are vaccinated, with all these various variants cropping up, you just don't know how the world is going to be in the future. And I listened to Gary Noll last night, and he was talking about American corporations, but the 10 companies that control just about everything that goes on with the various companies that we know about. So there is a big monopoly in terms of who's in control of different things. So I will have to continue to listen to your program and pay attention to the news to see exactly how it's going to play itself out.
Thank you for making a good soldier's effort. in participating today. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so then we have, let's see, Gambit from Florida?
Yes, it's Gamba.
Gamba.
Gamba, okay. Yes. Greetings.
Thank you.
Yes, well, what comes to mind is Mia Motley. I've been listening to her quite a while, well, since she's been elected. And she seems to have more, I'll try to be very polite in my terms. She's got more thing than men, you know? Anyway, she possesses that ability to raise the ire of collectiveness for the Caribbean region. She understands.
Yes, but that everybody has had all these ideas for so long about the need for the Caribbean to operate as one. And mm-hmm. It hasn't come to fruition just yet.
Quite so, quite so. But I see her with a beam of light that others haven't shined or shone on the Caribbean as such. And most of them have spoken as an individual, with an individual perspective. It hasn't been that collective idea being brought forth and her standing before the different agencies, meaning that she was at the UN and some other meetings where she espoused the idea of collectivism. And just not for the Caribbean, but I know she has made overtures to creating an air bridge between Barbados and Africa. So she's not just she's thinking of a collective global reach as opposed to many of the others who only saw themselves as very nationalistic. Jamaica, 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 or Trinidad, Trinidad, Trinidad. She is not that. She possesses a little more, what should I say, pizzazz, more of a nicer collective harmony with her than many of the men that came before her. She brings about that feminine principle that is so lacking with some of our other leaders. So that's what I've seen with her. The idea of
but
her.
What do you see for Barbados? That's the question. Is okay. It going to be different, decidedly different from what it has been for centuries?
Yeah. It won't be that much different because it'll still be informal capitalism, informal imperialism, because Barbados doesn't control navigational. Courses in the sea or in the air, whereby she could bring more aircraft into her region, into her airports, and thereby increasing, you know, she could establish a cargo hub, whereby it brings in, generates a whole lot more revenue.
I hate to say this, but mm-hmm. The last thing the Caribbean needs right now is a hub. It needs some logic. It needs some logic and foresight in its planning. It doesn't. It has been a hub for centuries. It's time to get rid of the hub idea. It doesn't work, except for people who don't even live there.
I beg to differ. I've been in the aviation industry for 40 years, and Trinidad and Barbados, because of their geographic location, are very strategic in terms of
yes, but look at it. And here's how you need to really reevaluate things. Forget all of that stuff about the strategic location and all of that. All that is wonderful. Look at what it means on the ground to individuals every day. What does it mean that you're so strategically located and yet you have such poverty? You're so strategically located and you can't feed. your nation. You have no new ideas except, well, instead of going with Canada, we'll go with some other country. But it's the same exploitation. There are no new ideas.
Again, I beg to differ because Barbados, okay, say they were to go towards reopening their sugar plantations. What technical, I mean, sugar is probably skyrocketing now for a price of palm sugar is probably going up tremendously. All right. So how does that really bring other technologies into the play?
Yes, because we are fixated about how the world sees the region, and therefore we fit into that analysis and that plan. Look, you always have to remember these tiny little specks of rock in the Caribbean Sea kept the entire British nations alive. Their work wasn't for them. It wasn't for them at all. It was for them to perform, to keep the British alive and the British interests alive. So don't kid yourself that there is an opportunity here to turn things dramatically around, and the resources of the nation and all little islands in the Caribbean suddenly will revert to the people living there. The people living there have nothing to do with it except if they're willing to work like a team of horses every day to produce profits for somebody else. That was the whole, contradiction about Barbados and the Caribbean. These small islands loomed large internationally with respect to the kinds of profits they generated in any number of spheres. And to this day, the people think romantically about it. Well, Barbados rum is great. Yeah, this rum is great. What does it take to produce the rum? Show me one worker in the rum industry who has a nice house, can send his children to school, can get his mother to the doctor when she's sick, and can take a couple of weeks off every year to travel with the family throughout the Caribbean. You show me somebody with benefits like that. It was a slave colony. Well, we need to wake up. It still is largely a slave colony. The economies have been designed for the benefit of other countries that control them. Simply as that.
And I agree. I've read Eric Williams' book about capitalism and slavery. And the Caribbean, the West Indians controlled Parliament in England for quite some time until the advent of the cotton slave plantations took hold over here, and everything migrated from here and went into came north to the USA. I still think, maybe
I can't hear you too well because you're not holding your phone right.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm pessimistic. Rather, I am optimistic. Change doesn't come overnight. I understand that.
Oh, again, please. You're reciting all the phrases I can't stand. Change doesn't come overnight. It came overnight for Britain. Change came overnight for France and Spain.
It takes a spark to start a forest fire. And I see Barbados as the spark. And I disagree with you on... I agree with you on many things.
Barbados is a spark. Barbados is a spark. Let me go with your idea. Barbados is a spark. What is it sparking?
the idea of a collective Caribbean, bridging the gap.
The idea of a collective Caribbean has existed for decades, if not centuries.
So has freedom in America.
I'm sorry?
I said, and so has freedom in America for black folk. For empowerment.
But you fail to understand. That is one of the, in fact, that's a very good comparison. Blacks in America are colonized people. You don't get that? They are the same as slaves in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have no power. They have no wealth. They have no means of self-rule. You talk about blacks as if, you know, they're very fluid in this society. They're not. Everything tells you that blacks are segregated still. Everything. So I still say
that in Barbados, it could be a viable option through creating air cargo hub. This is what I know.
You don't want
this
that.
Is why
you don't
I'm
want
projecting that. That's
you
why
don't
I'm
want an air
that.
Cargo hub or a shipping hub. Oh, no. You don't want that.
Why not?
Because you don't even have the equipment to save your environment from the consequences of hubs. Hubs are inherently destructive. They bring too much traffic, they pollute, and nobody takes responsibility for cleaning it up.
But they already are a hub for people. Barbados
is one
matter.
of the premier
airport.
The tourism was badly and still is badly controlled and regulated. So the environment suffers.
Quite so. Very
people
much.
Are not growing food that they could eat. They're growing palms so they can make those straw hats.
Yes. I still stick with my argument.
You tell me if I'm telling you the truth.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said, tell me if I'm telling you the truth.
Of course. I mean, they can go back to doing sugar. Sugar is one of the highest yielding products right now. They could go back to that.
Yes, sugar, by the way, is a grass.
It is.
And grass could grow anywhere.
Quite so, yes.
Okay. So when you consider the damage, the ecological damage that has been done throughout the Caribbean by allowing this grass to grow for the benefit of supplying the end product, sugar, to Britain. Britain made a ton of money off of sugar. In fact, they were pleased to sell it back to the Caribbean.
After they depleted everything in the soil, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sugar is fast to grow back. It is really profitable. And now, though, you have the competition of other forms of sugar and sweeteners.
Quite so.
That is consumed like crazy in the larger countries, which used to depend on sugar. They even deprived them of their markets by encouraging those markets to use artificial sweeteners.
Yew trees. Currently, if I were to leave, say, Trinidad, where I was born, and I were to leave Trinidad to go to Africa, it would essentially take me about a day. Because I'd have to come from Trinidad and reach Miami or reach New York or Washington, D.C., and then take another aircraft. Or either I go straight or I go to Europe and then down to Africa.
So what?
Barbados. Is essentially, say, 8 nautical hours from the mainland of Africa. And so is Trinidad. So I don't come and bring this
that has nothing
idea.
To do with the reality of life on the ground. It has nothing to do with it.
Sure it does. Well, because Africa could be a hub. Because Africa could be a transit.
I don't even want to hear that word anymore. Do not, if What's you that? Want to see me turn into a demon, say hub.
It could be a transit.
Hub is a bad word.
Right now, Trinidad is a transshipment point for all the illicit things coming through the Caribbean.
As it has always been. What do you think the British brought? Apart from syphilis and sexually transmitted diseases.
Everything.
And wiped out indigenous populations. What is... Look, I'm going to come to you.
So, okay, you three, I brought forth an idea. What would you say is better than mine?
Better than?
A more appropriate industrial effective measure for the people there.
How would I know? I haven't studied it.
So how do you know that my approach isn't correct with the aviation?
Because I have studied what you're talking about. And the effects are still with us. Let me give you one fast example because we're running out of time.
Okay, we got to go. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
My oldest brother, now deceased, had an idea. He was in the Royal Air Force for umpteen years. He retired, and he came up with the idea of starting a small company with small planes, and that would require less land to land. You don't have to build these mile-long airstrips to either take off or to land. You save gas. You do all kinds of stuff. Okay. Do you know that rather than say, well, tell us more about this, how would you save money? He showed the whole thing. He had all the calculations down to say the Caribbean should stop growth in many areas. Stop it. Whenever you want to see the dangers, you go to St. Martin.
Yeah.
And you will be terrified every time a plane comes in to land. You could literally, if you had a walking cane long enough, you could touch the belly of the plane if you're on the beach.
I feel in there.
And all those fumes and all that gas and all of that stuff polluting, so people can't grow any food.
I agree.
All right,
okay.
There you go.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
But thank you for your call. We must
thank you too.
Kind of reach each other again and continue the conversation. Thank you all for calling in and contributing today. You kind of got feisty. I like it. All right, we'll continue this call and talk some more about it, but we'll see what comes up tomorrow. Bye-bye.